Welcome to the Right Division Network Podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 4. We've been looking at verse number 1, which says, "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more." And last time, as we were looking at this passage, we discussed how there was information that these saints in Thessalonica had received directly from the Apostle Paul, Silas, and Timothy, and how this information is unique to the Apostle Paul. It had been kept secret since the world began. It was a mystery. All these different terms that we see the Apostle Paul use to describe this message that has been given unto him, and how we know that this message starts with the issue of the gospel that has been given to us for today. The fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. And putting our trust in that and that alone was what gives someone salvation today. That's the starting point for this information that Paul is saying about had been revealed unto him. Now, where we're going to start this morning, or with this episode, is going to be the issue of why it is that individuals kind of resist this idea of that there's information that Paul had that other individuals didn't. And they'll really will try to blend so many of the things of like what you see Peter and the other apostles preaching and saying, what Peter and Paul were saying the exact same thing. And they'll stress things like, for example, let's go over to Hebrews chapter number 13. And this is one of those verses that individuals will love to pull out when they start hearing the idea of rightly dividing the word of truth, that there's information that's been hidden with things. And in Hebrews chapter number 13, and we're also going to read with that a passage out of Malachi chapter number 3, because these two passages really go together looking at this idea. And in Hebrews chapter number 13, verse 8, says, "Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever." And over here in Malachi chapter number 3, we're going to read verse 6, which says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." And so, you know, either one of these two verses or both of them will be used together to show, and the statement will be, you know, since the Lord doesn't change and Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that everything that God is doing is the exact same thing from Genesis through Revelation. Now, what that really does look at, are those both of these passages true? And the answer to that is yes. You know, God doesn't change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The issue when we start in the book of Genesis and we go through the book of Revelation and we just look at what happens is that we see things of, it's not God who changes, it's man that changes. And the perfect example would be back in Genesis chapter number 3, the Garden of Eden, when Adam partakes of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. who is it that actually changes? Is it God or is it Adam? And when you read the verses in Genesis chapter 3, you see very clearly it's Adam who changes as a result of eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So God doesn't change, Adam changes, and as a result of the change that happens with Adam, God deals with Adam differently before the event compared to after the event. So the issue is that man changes, and as man changes, God has to deal differently with man. You know, and that's a very basic idea, and we know that, you know, we see that in our own lives. You know, for example, when someone is raising a child, that as the child gets older, that child is changing, the parent changes the way they're dealing with the child because of the changes happening as the child is getting older. So we see that happening in our lives, and we know that it happened with God, of where God had a plan that he had laid out all the way before the foundation of the world, understood exactly what was going to happen, and the result of the change of man is that each change in mankind, God has to deal with man differently. And God knew that was going to happen, and that's why he laid out a plan before the foundation of the world that reflects the issue of what changes would actually occur. Now, some other objections that will start happening is that, you know, they'll see the idea of mystery or something being kept secret and say, well, this isn't something new in the scriptures. And they'll use passages like, for example, let's go to the book of Deuteronomy now. And we'll go to Deuteronomy chapter number 29 here. And unfortunately, this is a verse that even sometimes individuals who do completely understand the idea of the mystery and things being kept secret will use to show that here's where you can point to the mystery back here in the book of Deuteronomy. Because when you read in Deuteronomy 29:29, it says, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." Now, the issue of what Moses is saying to the nation of Israel is that there's information that God has. And it's very clear as you continue on reading from Deuteronomy that there's prophecies that are being revealed from this point that are all part of this same program dealing with these same group of people that God hasn't revealed yet. That's the secret things that Deuteronomy is actually making a reference to. It's not talking about the mystery that's revealed unto Paul. It's talking about the things related to Israel's program. Like, for example, the Davidic covenant. That was something that had not been revealed at this point back here in the book of Deuteronomy. That would be one of those secret things. You know, the prophecies, you know, for, you know, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, all of those different things are all part of those secret things that Moses is speaking to the nation of Israel about, because it's part of the program that they had. There was nothing that pointed back here in Deuteronomy or any of these other books that are Genesis through Malachi, where we're going to even see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that point to the issue of the reconciliation of the heavenly places. And nothing to deal with the gospel of the grace of God. Everything that we see back in these books is dealing with the reconciliation of the earth. It's dealing with the issue of the gospel of the kingdom that was given unto the nation of Israel. So when we see things, let's go over to, now to the book of Matthew. We're going to Matthew chapter number 13. And we're going to see another one of these passages that's actually going to use the word mystery here. That's going to have people thinking that this is part of the mystery that was given unto the Apostle Paul. And this is going to be the beginning of the parables spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to start here at verse number 1 of Matthew chapter number 13. It says, "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he had sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell into stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive." Now, when we get to a passage like this here in the book of Matthew, and we see the Lord Jesus Christ changing this way that he's preaching, we see that it's a way of teaching in parables, and he's giving them information that's only for those who have an understanding of things. So it's the individuals who are part of this kingdom program that have understood exactly what's going on. And that's why when they ask him and say, "Why are you teaching this way?" that you see how he answers about how it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. So the idea being that it's given unto the disciples the knowledge of what the kingdom of heaven is going to be, and these different aspects that he's teaching them in these parables, because it's not information for the unbelievers to know, it's for the believing remnant to understand. And he's making it very clear about what these mysteries are when he says the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven being the term that we see in the book of Matthew used to describe the kingdom that's going to be established here on the earth, and how it's given unto them to know these mysteries. Now, you'll see when Paul uses the term mystery. He's either talking about the entire program as a whole, the mystery program of dealing with the reconciliation of the heavenly places, or he's going to talk about a very specific aspect of it. Like, for example, in 1 Corinthians 15, when he says, "Behold, I show you a mystery," and then the mystery that he's revealing unto him says, "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." So the aspect of what he's teaching them is that everyone is going to receive a glorified body with it. That's the mystery that he's revealing in 1 Corinthians 15. And then saying, okay, here's the timing of it as he continues on to teach that. But the mystery, the very specific mystery that's being given there is the fact that individuals are going to receive a glorified body. Now, another objection that people have is the idea of saying, well, you can see the idea of grace all the way through Scripture. And they'll point to a passage like, for example, let's go to Genesis chapter number 6. And we're going to see the issue of Noah here. And here in Genesis chapter number 6, we'll start here verse number 5. It says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And he repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for repented me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." And they say, well, see here, you know, Noah found grace. So grace is not something new. This is something that has always been here in the Scriptures. Well, and the idea is, yes, the idea of grace has always been there, because it's always through God's grace that individuals can even attempt to receive salvation. God always lays out exactly what somebody has to do in order to have that. And we see here, if we think, well, Noah found grace, well, let's look at what Noah had to do. Verse 13. "And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shall thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch." And then he's going to give the instructions of exactly how this ark is supposed to look. The issue of what Noah had to do is, in order to show that he was pleasing unto God, Noah had to build the ark. He had to follow these instructions that were laid out. The fact that Noah found grace in the eyes of God is the fact that he saw that out of all these individuals, that Noah was not in that same condition that all of these other individuals actually were. Now let's go over to the book of John. You know, this is one of those big ones here of where people will pull this passage and they'll take it out of the context of what's being said here. And what they'll end up doing is, by what we're going to read here, try to say that the Gospel of John applies to a member of the body of Christ today. And we see here in John chapter number 1, we'll read here verse number 17, says, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." And they say, well, see, the law, everything that was prior to this. That was all things that, you know, that was Moses. That was, you think of, but once the Lord Jesus Christ came here upon the earth, once we have the gospel events happening, that this is something that is completely different here, and it's an extension of the grace of God that's being given here, because grace and truth come by the Lord Jesus Christ. So, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John apply to the nation of Israel. John applies to us. Well, if that's true, you know, we have a little bit of a problem here with some of the things that we see that the Lord Jesus Christ says, even here in the book of John, that shows that we are not the focus here. Let's turn over to chapter number 4 here in the book of John, and we're going to see the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, which are going to point to what is going on here in John, when he says here, verse number 22, "Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." So, the issue being that salvation is of the Jews. It's the nation of Israel that has salvation. He came, you know, we didn't even look at the passage in chapter 1 where it talks about he came unto his own and his own received him not. We see him in the book of John celebrating the feast. We see him, you know, referring to the law of Moses. We see him, you know, continuing on this same program. Yes, grace comes by the Lord Jesus Christ, because there is an aspect of grace that has to be extended because of the fall of man and the fact that every individual is born not in the image of God, but is born in the image of Adam. And as a result of being born in the image of Adam, there has to be an extension of grace being made to individuals to be able to have that salvation that would be extended unto them. And when we look at passages like this and we see how people try to twist the things and make them say things that they really don't say, we see why it is that individuals have the struggles that they do in understanding what it is that is for us in this dispensation, because they really, you know, lack that understanding of what it is that God is trying to do. And as a result of lacking that understanding, they end up mixing up passages. They end up twisting things out of the context of where they're supposed to be. And the end result of that twisting of things and, you know, and having these problems is that they don't have that complete understanding of what they need. And it leads to them taking the passages out of context, creating problems for themselves. And when they have these problems, then what they're teaching is going to not be effective for people, because they're not going to be able to share with them what the truth of God's word actually is. And so that's why you really have to make sure an individual is rightly dividing the word of truth, having that understanding of what this doctrine is that has been given to the Apostle Paul, that he wants us to actually be able to be sharing with other individuals at this time. So we'll pick up with this next week. And as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have some charts to help you in your study of God's Word. We have information about how to watch our Sunday services live as they're being broadcast on Facebook. Information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. And as always, if you have any questions or comments about anything in our broadcast, anything on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.